give a defense.
What is repentance? Sometimes when we hear the word repentance, we think about somebody standing on a street corner with a billboard, repent, right? They seem angry and frustrated. And so when we hear the word repent, or when we hear a pastor or preacher mention the word repent, it can create a bit of defensiveness in some people. And that's why it's important for us to get the definition to the word. The word repentance is not a bad word. It's a great word. It comes from the Greek word metanoia. And it literally would mean to go the other direction. So we quit going our direction and we go God's direction. Or I could say it like this: to repent is to go God's direction. It's to go His way instead of our way. The Bible says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So if we want to be refreshed, we need to go God's direction. If we want to experience ruin and destruction in our own life, then we ignore God and we go our own direction. So repentance is a great word, and we should celebrate, just like the angels in heaven who celebrate any time a sinner repents. Why? Because they know that individual has been refreshed as a result of going God's direction.
I want to pray in a moment, but I just want to, just as we talk about tonight, getting together and sharing a meal together and then celebrating our relationship with the Lord, we're also going to get to hear testimony from the crew that went to Table of the Wilderness a while back. And you know, the reason, that's one of those ministries, as we took the offering a moment ago, there's a number of ministries that we, as we have evaluated, are saying we want to be a part of, and that's one of those ministries that we support. So it's always, I just want you to know what, as you give, it is certainly keeping ministry going on right here in the walls of this building and in our community, but it's reaching out, and so just really appreciate that, and just excited about those opportunities that we have because you're so faithful and so generous. And so thank you. And so now let's pray now as we dig into the Word of God together. Father, thank you. We're gonna tackle a topic, a word today that it's a little scary to us. We hear this word and it brings up all sorts of visions and probably most are incorrect. They don't line up with your word, and that's our problem. Anytime we move away from what your word has to say about something, we're getting into danger zone, and this is one of those cases. And so I pray as we talk about this subject of repent, that you will just give us a perspective that is lined up with your word. And just as we heard in the video, that your heart behind that word is you want us to find refreshment. And so with that in mind, now we dig into your word together. Thank you for giving it to us. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen. You know, back in colonial early American history, there were these things called the stocks. You've probably heard of them before. And I read a story a while back, back in that period of time, a young man was walking down the streets of one of our towns, and he came across a friend of his who was in the stocks, and he said to him, he says, "Whoa, what did you do?" And he says, "Well, all I did," he says, I was walking down the road yesterday, down the street the other day, and I saw this rope laying on the ground, and I picked the rope up and I carried it home." And his friend says, "Really? That's all you did, and they're doing this to you?" And he says, "You know what? I am friends with the magistrate. I am going to go talk to him. This is just not right to be punishing you to such extreme just for picking a rope up and taking it home." And as soon as he said that, the guy in the stock says, well, just a minute." He says, I may need to tell you that at the end of the rope, there was a little ox tied to it." So, you know, isn't that what we do? So often, we know that there's something that needs to be cleared up, something that a direction we went that was, or maybe a conversation we need to help. So we just say as little as we can get away with without actually saying, "Hey, man, this is what happened, and I'm sorry," or "God, this is where I went, and I'm sorry." So this morning we're going to talk about this term that like I said before, it brings up all kinds of perspectives, and most of them are not positive. We hear a word like this, and And maybe the first comes to mind is we think of something like this, you know, on the street corner, those preachers that are just in your face, on the attack mode, and man, if you can read the back of his t-shirt, that's kind of what you feel like they think is, you know, God hates you, so I need to tell you to straighten up your act. Or maybe we think back in further back to, you know, the Bible time prophets and just those calls for repentance. So that's what we envision when we hear this word. And, you know, here's the reality. And as we talk about it, I hope we come away with a perspective of God's heart behind this. We've been following for quite a while now the story of Nehemiah, a historical story of something that actually took place as God impressed on the heart of this guy named Nehemiah, who was all the way up in Persia, over 800 miles away, but he heard information about the destruction that had taken place in Jerusalem, and just begged God to do something, and God ended up arranging it, setting up, and we walked through this, just opened the door so that Nehemiah himself could go down there, and they've spent some incredible time rebuilding this wall in spite of all kinds of obstacles, and we've kind of walked through that with them. But here's part of, and this has come up a few times as we've walked through this story, is, you know, we recognize that the reason, and if you know anything about the history of the Israelites during this time frame, the reason that things were in such a destructive state was because of these decisions that the Israelites made over and over again. That, you know, God would say, here's what you need to do so that I can bless you, and I've given you this land, and here's what I wanted to do for you, and it's going to, you know. And over again, they would say, go a little while in the right direction, and then they'd start seeing or thinking or moving all these directions that were contrary to his will, and pretty soon they'd be in destruction. In fact, when we came on the scene now in this historical account of Nehemiah, excuse me, things had gotten so bad that not only were they struggling in their own lives, not only were they devastated as far as provisions, but they were living in rubble. All around them was rubble. Inside and outside of their capital city, the city that used to be their pride and joy, it was just piles of rocks. And it all went back to these decisions they had made to move away from the direction that God had set out for them. And so, you know, here you've probably heard, there's a definition that I love. Sometimes it comes back to haunt me, but you ever heard the definition of insanity? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You ever been in one of those ruts? I mean, so that's kind of what is happening with these Israelites over and over again. You know, in fact, if you walk through that section of the Old Testament, it's called the Judges. That's what it's about. God will send a judge to the Israelites and explain to them what's going wrong, what they're doing wrong. They'll straighten up their act. Things will get better for a little while, and then pretty soon they slip back in. It's going over and over again, and then God sends another judge. And so that's the definition of insanity. But, you know, the reality is, and I speak from my own life, my own experiences, sometimes that's where we are. We're in one of those ruts. We keep, you know, we say things like to ourselves, why does this keep happening to me? And the reality is, the reason it keeps happening is because we're not doing it any different. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. Or we say something like this, you know, why is my marriage always in this state? Why do it seem like we're constantly fighting? And maybe the answer is because you're in insanity. You're on that treadmill, and you keep doing the same thing, thinking that, well, this time it'll be different, and it isn't. Or something like this. Why do I keep losing jobs? You know, why can't I never hold a job? Well, think back. It's very possible that the lifestyle, the decisions, the way you handle it, are constantly putting you in conflict with the people you work with, or with the people that are over you. And so eventually you got to decide, I've got to change something. I got to do something different, because obviously, this is insane to keep finding myself in this situation, or you can go on. You know, why are my finances always in shambles? Well, maybe because you keep making the same kind of decisions. Why do I always feel so distant from God? And so here's what we're dealing with. You know, we get on this treadmill of insanity, and we make the same kind of decisions over and over again, and think that, well, at some point it's going to work out, and it doesn't. And it didn't for the Israelites either. And so that's why this topic of repentance is so important, because what it means is, what's really involved is, it means coming to a decision that my way doesn't work. I've tried it, in fact, over and over and over again, and the reality is, my way of doing this, my way of handling this, my way of covering this situation, of having this discussion, of whatever it might be, never works. So I need another way. And that's what repentance is. It's saying there is a path. And I got to tell you, it's the path that God has designed for you and I. And it doesn't matter. Whether it talk about employment, whether you're talking about your marriage, whether you're talking about life in general, whether we're talking about finances, we've been working through this number of weeks now, as we've been really looking at some scripture that applies to all of these things. God says, I have a path, and if you'll follow that path, it will lead, as the video said, it will lead to a refreshing experience. It will lead to blessing. Now, we know reality because we've been walking through Nehemiah. Blessing does not always mean everything goes exactly the way we think it should or smoothly. It doesn't mean there is no trouble. But we'll have this sense of God's sovereignty, that he's taking care of us, that he has promised to carry me through this. So give me, if I know I'm doing what pleases God, what's in line with his will, then there's this sense of peace. He talks about a peace that surpasses understanding. I have this sense, even in the midst of those times when the enemy is attacking, I have this sense, it's okay. Because I know I'm on the right path. I know I am living in a way that pleases God. But here's what's really interesting. I think this is so cool. As we discuss this morning, this subject of repent is God's pattern. Now, it's interesting. Here, you know, so often I showed this, put this picture up. A number of years ago, the church that I pastored in Maryland, we used to go once a month into D.C. to a place called McPherson Park. And McPherson Park is the place where all the homeless gathered. And it was really interesting. We'd go in and we'd take soup or food in. We were teamed up with some other churches, and we took our turns. And we'd just take food in, and we'd go to that park on a Sunday afternoon, and we would, you know, hang around and serve food and just kind of mingle, visit with the folks. And it's amazing, the stories, you know. Some of them, I mean, I remember talking to this one guy that he began to share his background, and you know, he had one time had been a fairly well-known doctor, just, you know, had it all, had the big house, had the pool in the backyard, you know, the cars, including collection cars, had it all, and then cocaine got into his life, and piece by piece, he lost it all, his family, his marriage, his home, and really his life. And so talk to him and say, you know, God has another path for you. But for you to get on that other path, you've got to make a decision to get off this insane treadmill that you're on. And you know, so you'd have those kind of conversations. But here's what's so cool. As we've been walking through this story, and I think it shows a pattern that we need to catch, because this is really cool. Because here we've been walking through the story of Nehemiah. And so think about this for a moment. I don't know what your expectation would be. So Nehemiah gets this information that, you know, things are in rubble, in destruction down in Jerusalem. And God, obviously, because we've walked through it, we watched how God set the pieces together, God obviously sent him down there to those people. But they're in that position. They are walking through what they are walking through. They are living in the mess that they're living in because they over and over again have made wrong decisions, ungodly decisions, sinful decisions. So you would kind of expect God to send Nehemiah down with this message. Straighten up your act, and then we'll talk about rebuilding your lives. But that's not what he does, is it? As we walk through the story, that is not what he does. He sends Nehemiah down. In fact, we don't hear anything about any of the reasons why they're in the situation they're in. All we hear is Nehemiah coming down to them with a message of hope that we can rebuild. We can put the wall back up. In fact, the king of Persia, a pagan king who has no heart for God. In fact, earlier that same king had said, they'll never rebuild, build that wall as long as I'm king. But God changed his heart so that Nehemiah could go down there. And so Nehemiah goes down, and the message he has is this Persian king, this pagan king, has financed it so that we can rebuild the wall. He sent me all the permission papers I need, and so we can rebuild. Doesn't even get to the issue at this point, the issue of why they're where they are. And this is so much a part of the heart of God that we need to see, because I think we miss this so often. We miss this in our own life, which is why we're so slow to repent, because we've got this perspective of God that he's sitting there waiting to bring the hammer down. And so if I acknowledge that the reason I'm walking through what I'm walking through is because I keep making the same decisions, handling things the same way over and over again, then that's going to be giving him permission to let me have it. And that's our perspective of God, and yet it's not the pattern that I see in Scripture, and certainly not the pattern that we've seen in this situation. First, God sent them help. You know, that's what I loved about that ministry at McPherson Park is, you know, we were looking for opportunities to point them to God, but we were there, first of all, to help, to give them something to eat. First, God sends them help. You know, that pattern shows up again 400 years later. Tonight, we're going to get together and we're going to break bread. We're going to drink a cup. Because we're going to be reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his son. He sent the help first. We needed a Savior, and he sent the Savior. And you know, Jesus didn't come preaching. We have lots of his messages, but go back and listen to his messages. It's not, I don't need to point out to you how terrible you people are. It's messages of hope. The Sermon on the Mount is how to be blessed. So the pattern is set that he came to help first. And realize this, recognize this. He went to that cross knowing that the majority of humanity would never, ever accept the offer. And yet he still went through with the help that was needed. He still followed through. He went to the cross. He died knowing that most would say no thank you. I got to pause here for a moment and make sure that I want to stop, and I want you to think, you know, here's the offer. Here's what this help was. God knew that our relationship had been broken with him. He knew why. It was our sin. Even, you know, when we didn't even really understand it, Paul says that. We not only did we not understand it, but we actually didn't look at God as someone who had a heart for us, because Satan had so deceived us. So our perspective is we were at enmity with God, is the way Paul says it. We were, you know, we really saw him as an enemy. He's not on our behalf. He's not for us. He's against us. And with that perspective of God, God stepped into our world and said, I want this relationship restored. And for that to happen, somebody's got to pay for your sin so that you don't have to. And my sin, and the penalty was death. And so he said, I will take your place. I will die in your stead. I will go through this suffering and death on a cross so that I can offer every person in the world the opportunity for forgiveness as a gift and a restored relationship with God that lasts not just now, begins immediately, but lasts forever. And that's the offer. Even when we thought he was against us, that was our perspective. He sent help. so the question always comes back to you and I, have I received, have I accepted that offer, that gift of forgiveness? If you haven't, then what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? There's no strings attached. It's just, I want to forgive you. Will you accept my forgiveness? And you've got to decide, yes, God, I do. I believe that's why your son died. For me, for my sins, and I accept the forgiveness you're offering. Thank you for. And what happens, the Bible says, at that very moment, he adopts you into his family. You become his child. He sends the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives within you. He's a counselor. He helps you. You know, it's amazing. I can remember as a new believer reading the Bible. I grew up a pastor's home, so I'd read the Bible a lot, but suddenly I understood it, and the difference was the Holy Spirit helped me understand. That's what he wants for you. So what are you waiting for? So I think it's so cool to see the heart of God is even in this story as well, that he sent to help. Jesus didn't come preaching. He came offering. And we see that pattern in this story as we've been walking through Nehemiah. And here's what happens, though. What eventually happens is there does come that time as they see what God has done on their behalf to help. They've got the wall rebuilt. And remember, we talked in record time. They've rebuilt this wall in spite of the fact that they were constantly being barraged by enemies, threats, even personal threats of their death. And yet God protected them through all that. And somewhere, and this is what I think God wants you and I to do, and I think this is what he wants us as children to be portraying to the world around us. Somewhere along the line, it dawned on them, why do we keep getting in these situations? Why does this keep happening to me? Maybe it's because they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And there came this point where they, notice this, they, the Israelites, told Ezra, the scribe, bring out the book. We want to hear from God's word because obviously we're missing something. This is after God had showed his heart for them. This is after he demonstrated his love for them and allowed them to rebuild a lot of the destruction. And somewhere in that process, their hearts said, okay, this keeps happening for a reason. Let's find out what the reason is. And you know, here's my encouragement. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, just let me encourage you. Get into the book. Now, don't start in Genesis. It's a great book. I love Genesis. But start in one of the, go to the New Testament and start in one of the Gospels, Matthew or Mark or Luke or especially John. I would point you to John. And hear God's heart for you, but get into the book. But if you are a believer, you know, it's interesting. Don't we, you know, this is part of the danger of the day. We have so many resources out there. And so we see this destruction in our life. We see these patterns. We finally come to an awareness of, you know, why does this keep, okay, it keeps happening because I'm, and so we go out there and we grab some book other than this one. And maybe this guy has the answer. Let me read that guy's thought about this. Let me read, and I'm not saying there are tons of great books out there. I'm reading one right now. Max Lucado is one of my favorite authors, and I'm reading one right now and having the life that you always wanted to have. And it's basically about leaving behind a life that says the heart was for God, and I'm enjoying that. But get in the book. And that's what they did. And so they called Ezra. And then notice, as they say, read us. We want to hear from your word. We want to figure this out. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law, which the Lord had commanded of Israel. God doesn't push his way in his life, in our lives. But when we're ready, he's there waiting. And so they asked him to bring the book out, and notice it says, all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Now, what that is saying is, this was not just a religious exercise. They weren't just saying, you know, we've gotten away. We've always used to read the scripture, have the scriptures read out loud to us in our worship. We need to start doing that again. You know, let's have that point where the guy comes out and reads the scripture for us. No, they were going into this because they wanted to understand. That's what listen attentively meant. He said, God, we need to figure this out. What is it that keeps getting us in this same place over and over again? Where has insanity set in? We need to look at your word and help us to understand what it is you're trying to tell us, what it is we need to do. How do we get back on that path, which is the path that your heart has for us, because you want to bless us. You don't want us to go through this destruction. You don't want us to face this same issue every few months again and again and again. And so, Lord, let me hear from your word. I want to understand because I want to do what's right before you. So God sent them help, and they responded to that by wanting to hear from God. That would be their desire. If you're a believer and you're saying, boy, you know, you're sitting here right now saying, man, I don't know, did my wife talk to him? Because he's really, you know, he's prodding a little bit. He's poking where he shouldn't be poking today. Or, you know, how did he know? How did I know that I'm back in one of those situations again? How did I know that, you know, I made that same mistake? I made so many times, and I said, I won't do this again, and I'm right back there again. Well, I want you to know that God has answers to that. There's a path that he wants you to take, and so get into that book. It goes on, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe and the Levites who were instructing the people said to him, this is the day sacred to the Lord for your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. You know what happened? I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me. They got into the Word, and they heard God's heart for them, and all of a sudden, it came to the realization, oh, that's the problem. That's what's going on. That's why I keep getting here. Of course, this is going to be in the result, because I keep doing the same thing over and over again, and suddenly their hearts broke, because they recognized, it's my fault. It's because what I do, it's the decision I'm making, and Lord, I'm so sorry. Or maybe as they recognize how they treated each other, because remember, we walked through that a few weeks ago. The nobles, and they were in such a conflict within their own family because they had mistreated and ignored each other's needs and hearts and the wounds that they were causing each other. And so maybe they suddenly, that dawned on them, and they're standing next to their wife or a brother or a sister or their next-door neighbor, and all of a sudden they realize, we've been in conflict. We're struggling. We're angry with each other, and I know why. I probably always did, but I didn't want to admit it, but now I know why. And see, that's what God's heart is to. His heart is not, he isn't waiting for an opportunity. I want to bring it down on you. His heart is, no, I just want to get you on the path where I can bless you. That's where repentance is. It's getting back on the right path. And so these people are in this moment of weeping, and they heard it, and they realized they had moved apart from God, and in the process had moved apart from each other. And then Nehemiah says, don't weep, don't mourn. This is a wonderful moment. You know, I love that. You know, as he says, do not mourn or weep. This is a sacred day. This, you know, that's what's so exciting about this moment. You ever had one of those? I hope you have. Well, I guess I shouldn't hope you have, because it means you walked through a hard time in your life. But those moments where you suddenly come clean before God, and maybe before someone else that you've done wrong to, and there is such a refreshingness about that. Remember that, repent? There's such a freedom. There is such a lifting of the weights. And so that's what Nehemiah says is, I understand what you're doing, but understand this is a sacred moment. You finally figured it out, and you've repented. You've chosen to get on the path that God designed for you so you can have his blessing. This is a great day to celebrate. Chapter 9 says, they stood in their places and they confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. What's really interesting, we're not going to go through this all, but man, they were detailed. You know, go back to that opening story about the rope, you know. I just picked up a rope. I need to mention there was a little ox on the end, but, you know. That's where way we confess. You know, I wonder if I can get away with just saying this much, you know. And that's not their heart. They just laid it all out. You look down through the next verses, and you'll see it. Man, they go into detail. They don't want to miss anything because they want this freedom that they know God is offering. And so they go through the whole list. And not only what we've done wrong, but we're going back into our fathers and our fathers' fathers, and we see the pattern. What we're telling you, God, is we see the pattern, and we know that it's our fault that we're where we are, but we're here to tell you, we're ready to repent. We're ready to change direction. We want to get on the path. They acknowledged that God was right and they were wrong. Just incidentally, who you in and me in, he's always right. We're always wrong. When we contradict him, we're not going to do this again. We will not neglect the house of our God. See, that was part of their problem. They'd gotten away from worship. They had been consumed. And remember, you can see why. They were surrounded by destruction. They were just barely eking out a living. They were being taxed to the extreme. And so the stuff of life had moved in and taken over. And in the process, somewhere in there, and I don't know if you've been there, but I have, even as a pastor, I have been there where the stuff of life and ministry, supposedly ministry for God, has consumed my life, and somewhere in that process, I lost my worship of my God. I lost this place in my heart and said, God, I want you to be first. I don't want to lose track of who you are. I don't want to lose track of your heart for me. And Lord, I want to have that heart for you. And they finally come back to that place and say, we're not going to do this again. They're just like, you know, they will. But that's our gracious God who's always there, always ready to respond when we're ready. So God sent them the help. They responded to it by wanting to hear from him. When they heard God's word, it caused them to realize that they had moved apart from God. They acknowledged that God was right and they were wrong, and they repented. About faith. I now know what I'm supposed to do. I know that where I am and this thing that I keep finding myself in is because of the things that I do over and over again. This is insane. I want off this path. And God, I want on yours because your path is one of restoration, of refreshment, of blessing. That's your heart for me, God, and so that's what I want. Now, we're going to pray, and I want to give you a chance. First of all, if you are not a follower of Christ, we talked a few moments ago about God's heart for you and why Jesus came and what he did on your behalf. And so you, at the very least, I'm going to give everybody a chance just to kind of bow our heads and talk to God. At the very least, even if you're not ready to accept that gift, at least say, God, okay, God, I'm ready to at least try to hear your word, your heart from you. So help me to hear that. Help me to know that heart. Help me to see, understand that sacrifice. And Lord, I don't know what's holding me back, but something is, so clear that up so that I can step into that relationship that you want. Because I want that blessing. And I know that the way that I've directed my life hasn't worked out so well. So obviously something needs to happen. So help me understand what needs to happen. And if you are a follower of Christ, but you're in one of those times, it's just like, you know, the wilderness. It's dry bones. It's just this pattern that keeps coming up over and over again. Repent. And understand what that word is. It's wrapped up in the heart of God for you, who says, I have this blessing, this refreshment, this direction for your life that I designed for you personally, that is all about me taking care of you if you'll let me. So get on the path. I want you to pause, and I'm just going to give you a chance to talk to God for a few moments, and I'll close in prayer and end this service here. But let's talk to God. It's amazing, Father, how often words like repent come to mean something so different than what is really their purpose. Repent is all wrapped up in your heart for us, your desire to care for us, to refresh us, to bless us. But there has to come that point where we acknowledge the fact that the pattern of life that we've been living, that same, doing the same thing over and over again, that had led time after time to destruction, to hurt relationships, to loss, to finally acknowledge that, God, it's the wrong pattern. I need to get off this path because this is insanity. So the day I'm telling you, Lord, I'm asking you to help me understand through your word and your will what your direction is, because I want to sense the pleasure of my Father in my life. So I pray that for each one of us in this room. And Lord, if there's a person here who does not yet know your heart for them, your love, and has not accepted that gift that you're offering of forgiveness and restored relationship and adoption in your family, I pray that they won't put that off anymore, any longer. That you'll, whatever their preconceived notions of you are that's keeping them from making that decision, or the lies of Satan that's holding them back, that you'll clear that out so that they'll understand how much you love them. You love the world. You love them and your desires for them. And for us who are your children, we know, Lord, the heartache that comes from making decisions contrary to your path. And so I pray for us, if any of us are on one of those paths right now, that today will be the day that we repent and get back on that path of blessing that you have in mind for us. And we thank you for your word, that it directs us, that it is so practical, so important for us in living our daily life in a way that pleases you. We pray these things in your Son's name.
I know I really